Come on and give God some praise. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited. We done already had a time in the Lord. Amen. If you didn't get it, what you came for? Oh, well. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Reverend McTeer, do me a favor. Stand up and testify for us.
That he was real surprised that I was able to walk. They gave me a narcotic pill. And when I took that narcotic pill, the whole room would turn sideways. I said, I don't want that. But your doctor prescribed it. Doesn't matter who prescribed it. I don't want that. Amen?
Amen.
They tried to insist, but I refused. And as I told my first lady, I was relying and resting on the prayers of the saints. Your prayers, Brother Dennis, sister pastor's prayers who came to see me, the whole church whose prayers got through to God. Amen?
Amen.
And now I'm walking.
Amen.
Our niece had my card and didn't want to give it back to him. I stole it one time. Amen. To show them I could drive. Amen. So I'm driving and I'm walking and I'm thanking God for Liberty Temple Church who helped to pray me through. Amen.
Amen.
I'll never forget you.
Thank you.
I am probably the oldest, I call it my second church home, member of the church, because I've been coming since in the 1950s.
Wow.
Anybody else here? I'm the oldest, huh? Amen. God bless you real good. Good to see you're still on the mainland.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Reverend McTeer. Amen. He's telling the truth, too, because I was riding down Pontchartrain and happened to look over. And I looked and I said, that looked like Brother McTeer. What are you doing in that car? So I pulled up next to him and I rolled my window down. I said, Brother McTeer. He said, what's up, brother? I said, are you supposed to be out? He go, yep, holding on, looking up. And he was hanging out that window. And that's what you have to do. You have to defy everything and do what God tells you to do. Amen. Come on and give God some praise. You may be seated. Amen. God. Amen. Open up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. We won't be very long. Glory to the Lamb of God. The 18th chapter. Amen. Glory to God. The word of the Lord says, call those things that are not as though they... How do you do that? With your mouth. We have to call those things that are not as though they are and stop accepting them the way they are. So we start calling them. Or the word call means to create. You have to start creating things the way you want them by speaking to them. Here, as we simplify, in the 18th chapter and the 4th verse, it says, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Amen. If you look at the word, it means debar, or it means to set in order, to arrange in a speech. You have to be careful how you arrange your words. How many hear me? You have to be very careful how you arrange your words because they will come back to bite you. You have to arrange your words in a way where they will become a blessing to you, where they will become strength to you. They will become encouragement to you. You arrange your words and set them in a sentence that will exalt your God. See, if you exalt God, he will exalt you. See, it's all about arranging your words in a way where it always gives God praise. regardless of what you're going through, or regardless of what you're feeling, or regardless of what you're experiencing, if you set your words in a way, set them in a sentence that gives God praise. Well, I don't feel good today, but Father, I give you the praise nevertheless. Lord God, I got problems everywhere, but I'm going to give you the praise everywhere. Lord God, my knees feel like they're about to explode, but I'm going to exhort your name and give you the praise, because regardless of what I'm going through, you are still God. You're God yesterday, you're God today, and you're God tomorrow. So therefore, since you don't change, I need to line up with the word of God so that I can stop changing, so that I can be transformed by the renewing of my mind, by the very word that I read, the word that I study, and the word that I hear, so I can start speaking things that do what? That encourage, saying things that strengthen, saying things that fortify, saying things that uplift, saying things, sometimes like David. David lost everything. What did he do? Said he fell on his face and he began to encourage himself. How did he encourage himself? By changing his sentences, by changing his words, rearranging them. Stop that. Lord, have you left me? Instead of saying that, Lord, I thank you. Lord God, I praise you. Lord, I exhort you. Lord, I lift you up. Now he's lost everything. His men done turned against him. They want to kill him, but still he found a way to exhort God. It's in your words. It's in your words. We know what we go through. We know how bad we hurt. We know how bad our finances are. We know how bad folks persecute us and how bad we're afflicted. But if we keep dwelling on it and keep talking about it, we talk that thing into our souls and into our spirits. And when you talk it into your spirit, you become what you say. The word of the Lord here says that the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters. Deep waters is trying to let us know that it's talking about something that is deep and pushing, like a flowing brook, something that mellows out, something deep waters. You know, you ever watched the history shows or the different shows where it seems like the deeper the water is, the more calamity is down there? What do you mean by that? Well, on top of the water, you might run into a fish. You get a little bit deeper, you might run into a stingray. You get a little bit deeper, you might run into a shark. So what is it saying? A man's mouth is like that. We have the ability to dig small holes, medium holes, or pits. With our words, we have this ability. So what we have to do is watch and be careful about what we say. Because there's power in what you say. If you keep calling yourself a bum, pretty soon you will be a bum. You'd be amazed. And as a wellspring of wisdom, as a flowing brook, a gushing current. You know, either or. You have the ability to encourage yourself and strengthen yourself and uplift yourself so that you can have what you say. Look here. You have to use your words to create what you need from God. You have to arrange your sentences in a way so that you can create what it is you've got to have. How you do that? When you begin to change your sentences and change your words and change your way of talking, it changes your way of thinking. Your words will change your thinking. You have to encourage yourself and uplift yourself and tell yourself, regardless of what I'm going through, I'm already healed. Regardless of what I'm feeling, I already have victory. Regardless of what's going on in my mind, I already have peace. If you can convince yourself that you already have what you're searching for, sooner or later, you'll start seeing that you actually have it. It didn't really go anywhere. It's just because you talk so negative about yourself, you talk so negative about the things you were going through, that spirit of negativity began to overwhelm you and put you in a position where now you believe exactly what you're feeling and not what the word says. You stop living by faith and you start living by the principles of your own words. If you start living by the principles of your own words, you cannot make it. And then won't nobody be around you. When they see you coming, oh, here comes Sister Diddle Daddy. Because they already know what's coming out of your mouth. Here come Brother Boombed. Better run. He don't have no good thing to say. You ever run into them people that every time you run into them, you ask them, you afraid to ask them how they doing? You mean well, and you're really concerned. You're deeply concerned. But as soon as you ask them how they doing, next thing you know, well, you know, I got this pain in my right thigh, and but I'm gonna be all right. And you know, my finger don't wanna work right, but I'm gonna be all right. And you standing there saying to yourself, I asked for this. My thigh hurt just as bad as his. My finger hurting just as bad as his. I don't want to hear this. So instead of learning from it, we say to ourselves, I'm not going to do that. We turn right around. Somebody asks us how we're doing. You know, my back is just absolutely killing me. I don't know whether I'm going to be able to get up or get down. We got to change our figure of speech. It's got to change, because your speech will change your thinking. And if your thinking changes, then everything else will have the ability to change. The Bible says, cast down every imagination that tries to exalt itself or above against the word of God. What is the word of God? The word that flows out of your mouth. Jesus said, man shall live by every word that flows, proceeds out of the mouth of God. What is the mouth of God? Ask yourself. When you ask them into your life and you began to speak the word of God, you became a mouthpiece for God. How many understand that? You became a mouthpiece for God. So things that proceed out of your mouth, regardless of how bad you feel, are supposed to be for edification. Things that proceed out of your mouth are to be for uplifting. Things that proceed out of your mouth are supposed to be for exhorting. Things that proceed out of your mouth are to be to show forth the love and the character and the nature of God. If it don't, then you need to research your speech pattern. Go all the way down to 20th verse. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruits of his mouth. Not the fruit that's going in his mouth, but the fruit of his mouth. That's what it says, right? He shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. What that means is that his fruit, his mouth has become his fruit. How could his mouth become his fruit? Because his mouth is now, the words that proceed out of his mouth is what he lives by. You know, there's good fruit and there's bad fruit. Fruit start off good, but if you don't take care of it, it turn out bad. If you keep talking down and down and discouraging yourself long enough, you'll find yourself down. And then you'll be trying to figure out how to get in this hole I was in. And the first thing we do is blame it on Satan. One day he's going to walk up next to you. He's going to do this to you. Hey, buddy, I heard what you said. When you blame that on me, I was on the east side. If I'm not mistaken, from what the other brethren demon tell me, that you said it. If you said it, why are you blaming it on me? I tell you what, I'm going to go to God on you. I'm going to go tell God how you are. Not knowing that God done already searched the intents of his heart and found out that ain't no good thing coming out, because every word that proceeds out of his mouth is not to edify, but it's to destroy and to tear down. Y'all don't hear me this morning. I know what I'm talking about. I have to talk to myself. I smack myself. Shut up. Get up in the morning, can't hardly move. I mean, oh, "Oh Lord, I'm your servant." God says, "So? But don't you think I need a touch?" "Yeah." "Ain't you gonna touch me?" "No." "Well, why not?" "No," I say, "why the heck not?" "Because I've given you every tool that you need." How many hear me? "I've given you every tool that you need to take authority over the situation that you're in, to stand up and proclaim that this is the day of the Lord. And if you're living in the day of the Lord, your words have power over what you say. So what you have to do now is tell yourself and tell your belly that it don't have no strength over you, don't have no ability over you." What does it mean by belly? Belly represents in the flesh. Most of the time with the words we use, we're feeding our bellies. Hallelujah. "With the fruit of his mouth and with the increase of his lips shall be filled." Closing. Death and what? Why did they put death first? Death and life. Not one or the other, but both of them. Meaning that both of them have ability in your life. You have to yield, just the word of God says, "Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve." Either you're going to serve death or you're going to serve life. If you serve death, everything that proceeds out of your mouth produces death. Gossip. I better stop there. But you understand. I don't want death to reign in my life. I want life to reign in my life. So if I want life to reign in my life, Lord God, I feel like crap today, but I praise you because I know if you inhabit my praise, you can heal my body. Lord God, I don't have the money I need to take care of my problem, but I know if I praise you, Lord God, you'll inhabit my praise and you'll bless me. Lord God, they're persecuting me and afflicting me, but I know if I praise you, you'll make a way out of no way for me and you'll eliminate the problem. Father, and I found out something else. Sometimes you don't get rid of every problem, but you will move on my mind and on my heart so that the problem ain't as bad as it's seems, as long as I do what? If I praise you. And with the increase of his lips shall he be, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. The more garbage you talk, the more you feed your flesh. I'm tired of feeding my flesh. These knees can't carry it around anyway. Hallelujah. So we stop feeding the thing that's killing us. Your flesh is trying to kill you, wants to take you out. The word of God said, for the wages of sin is what? Flesh. Old nature. It wants to kill you. The payout of it is death. So as long as your words that come out of your mouth isn't for edification or exhortation or to encourage or strengthen somebody, then all the thing, that other thing is coming out is death. There's either one or the other. There's either death or there's life. You have to make up in your mind today that you're going to speak life instead of death. So what they don't like you, speak life. So what they persecute you, speak life. So what they hate you, speak life. So what they call you name, speak life. So what they roll their eyes at you, speak life. So what you don't feel good, speak life. You have to speak life. What is life? I can do all things through Christ Jesus that's strengthening me. I've been called and chosen by the power of God. I've been selected by the kingdom of God. I was called in my mother's womb. God brought me forth. God healed me. God kept me. God restored me. He brought me this far. By God, I'm sure he's going to take me the rest of the way. Hallelujah. Yeah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Folks don't realize how powerful the tongue is. When you put the power, let's look at a little scenario. Power of the tongue. I use Brother Sean. Now, Brother Sean is sitting next to Sister Rochelle. Brother Sean says, "You know what, Sister Rochelle? I don't like that suit Pastor got on. I don't know why he don't go buy another one." Sister Rochelle don't respond. So Brother Sean go to somebody else. Why don't he get rid of that suit? He don't say the same thing twice. I don't know why he don't get rid of that suit. It's coming out of the tongue. I don't know why he don't get rid of that suit. So now he done got somebody, because now they want to know why. Why should he get rid of it? Because he's too fat. His suit too tight. His pants legs too short. So now they looking. Hallelujah. Praise him. All the time, God ain't nowhere in the area, because they're trying to see whether my pants are too short. Because Brother Sean done went and told them that my pants too short. He tried to bite one, but he didn't get a nibble. He went to another and he got a bite. So then that one goes, "You know, Pastor Gardner's pants are too short." Now he's went about his own business. This thing's starting to steamroll, Will. But if in the beginning he had said, "You know what, I like Pastor Gardner's suit," whether he liked it or not. Sister Rochelle would say, "You know what, I like it too." That would have been the end of the conversation. But because he changed the conversation, it wasn't edifying. Do you know folks would rather hear a lie than the truth anyway? That's Bible. They'd rather hear you talk about somebody than to edify somebody. Because that's how much power is in your tongue. You have the ability to speak things into existence. Why do you think the Bible says call those things that are not as though they are? Because you have power in your tongue. You have power in it because you can either destroy or you can increase. You can either bring forth life or you can bring forth death. And we haven't realized that. We just talk, we talk, we talk, and we're not even thinking about what we're saying. And before you know it, you done broke somebody's heart. You done tore up somebody's life, you done messed up somebody's ministry, and you haven't even have a clue because you done went on your merry little way. But I got news for you. The word of God says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." So you better take your tongue and tie that bad boy in a knot and make sure the only time you let it go is when you want to edify or exalt or lift up somebody. Amen. Come on and give God some praise. I want the right fruit to come off my tongue. Like things about joy and about peace and about goodness and about mercy and about long suffering and about faith. That's what I want to roll off my tongue. Because if that rolls off your tongue, then I'll be doggone if you don't encourage somebody that's ready to give up. I'll tell you, you'll let make somebody know that they can have victory who don't know anything about victory. You'll let somebody that's dying know that they can still live. You'll let somebody know that's broken up and down that they can get up and pick themselves up. You'll let somebody know that thought they couldn't make it that they can make it. Why? Because life is flowing out of your tongue. When life flows out of your tongue, life flows into somebody's life and it lifts them up and encourages them. But you got to be careful what you say. Hallelujah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The Bible also goes on to say the tongue is an unruly member. It said it's unruly. How can the tongue be unruly when it's hooked up to my mouth? Because baby, it will flap and say stuff, and then you'll say, "What did Oracle, Orkin, whatever his name was, did I say that?" Yeah, you said it, but you can't take it back now, it's too late. So pray and ask God to lead you and to guide you. And if you don't have nothing good to say, shut up. Keep it to yourself. Sit on your tongue. Sew it to your jaw. Because when it comes to where the rubber meets the road, it might hurt them, but it's going to affect you in a bad way. So let's watch what we say. Let's watch what we say. Let's watch how we say it. And let's watch who we say it to. Amen. And watch God bless us. Everyone stand.